to start off this show this week, I have an image for everybody, and as they say, a picture says a thousand words, and I think this picture is a comment on humanity and what it means to be human, and how sometimes if we get lost in the details, how things can become super ugly. No, we're not that deep here on News to Reviews. I decided to put up this fucked up looking human toad picture for us to bloody comment on. This was made by a prolific tweeter, Miguel Vasquez. His Twitter handle is at It's Mike the Boxer. Christofini, what do you think of the human toad?
Man, it looks like Jabba the Hutt. A very uglier version of Jabba the Hutt. And I really thought that Jabba the Hutt couldn't get any uglier. There it is.
I should probably quickly explain what it is. So this guy is a really cool graphics artist, and he's done a human version of the Toad character from Super Mario. And my God, is it nightmare inducing? Like, it's fucking terrifying. It's one of those things like, you know, kill it before it lays eggs. But I fucking love it as well too. I kind of want to hang it on my wall. It's fucking beautiful in a way. Lachlan,
it's missing a nose, right?
That was weird. I never call you Lachlan. Yeah. That felt really weird.
I mean, like, you know, it's missing a nose, so it's not completely human. It's like, it's one of those weird in-betweens where it's sort of got this old man body and half face going on, and yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, look, you know, art is... It's funny. People say art is art and art is subjective, but when I look at that, I go, well, that's not fucking art. It's like when you go to a cultural museum or something and you see like wind chimes all over the room and plastic bottles. Oh, there was this one time I went to an Aussie museum and it was just showing footage of these two people breathing into a plastic bottle. And I'm like, that's not fucking art. I mean, like, you know, that could have artistic meaning to it, but it's the laziest piece of shit that was put together. So, you know what? This looks like it had way more effort put into it than that. So, I'll give it at least that.
What do you think of the titties on it?
I wasn't expecting Toad to have that. He's definitely got the man bod going,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, the man titties, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that Toad had man titties.
I mean, he's pretty round. I mean, like, you know, they've got the picture up for reference, and I think they've done a good job at getting to the heart of what Toad would be as a person.
It's pretty lush in the old Mushroom Kingdom. Surely he's got a pretty decent diet, but I guess...
Why are we fucking looking at this?
Around there.
Why are we talking about this?
Because it's beautiful, it's amazing. Not, look, people lost their shit
fucked.
For Mario's nips in Super Mario Odyssey. If they think those nips are good, check out Human Toad.
Oh, I'd take pregnant Sonic over Human Toad any day of the week.
Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories, and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. And by God, do we have a good new game to talk about this week. Oh God, I'm already on the edge of my seat. It's only the start of the episode, and I'm here talking with my awesome co-host, the...
Pause. Hi, this is Lachlan. Welcome, everyone, to News to Reviews. Zach has taken a brief absence of leave due to insanity, and we'll be talking about something not Sony-related this week.
Error message. That's all I have to say. Yeah. But I'm extra excited this week. I can barely contain it. I can barely keep my mind on track, as you can tell, because we're here with... a friend of mine from a show that's like my podcasting home away from home. We have Chris Defini from Button Mash Podcast. Chris, how are you, my friend? Thank you for joining us.
Good, man. Thanks for having me, boys.
Big welcome.
It's good to be here. And it's probably taken a while, hasn't it?
It's been a little while. I think I was on Button Mash the first time back in January. Hey, good things come to those who wait. Yes, just like exactly. How we waited a long, long time for The Last of Us. Wait a while to get you on the show, but it's going to be an amazing one. That's for fucking sure. And let's may as well get cracking because it's going to be a juicy episode and fucking we need to try fit all of this shit in. Our first story. There is a new Pokemon Snap. This article comes out of IGN, was written by Joe Screbbles. New Pokemon Snap, a new version of the classic Nintendo 64 Pokemon photography game, has been announced for Nintendo Switch. The game is currently in development for Nintendo Switch and is listed as coming soon. According to the end slate of today's Pokemon Presents broadcast, the game is being developed by Bandai Namco. Per a Pokemon Company description, the new Pokemon Snap game for the Nintendo Switch system is based on its namesake, which was first released for the Nintendo 64 console in 1999. This game will take trainers on an adventure to unknown islands, overflowing with natural sights such as jungles and beaches, where they can research various Pokemon in their natural habitats. They will take photos to make their very own in-game Pokemon Pokedex, all while discovering new never-before-seen Pokemon expressions and behaviors. The new Pokemon Snap website clarifies that the game will include deserts, jungles, and more. The trailer confirms that Pokemon from multiple generations will appear in the game. The last time we saw Pokemon Snap was when it appeared on Wii U as a virtual console game back at release in 1999. IGN awarded the game a 7.8 out of 10, saying that through clever design, intuitive control, lots of traditional secrets, and of course, more than 60 Pokemon to snap pictures of and toy with, it's a game that is a lot of fun in spite of its seemingly simplistic design and nature. New Pokemon Snap was by far the biggest, but far from the only Pokemon announcement today. We have also learned about Pokemon Cafe Mix, a free-to-start puzzle game, Pokemon Smile, a free app to help toothbrushing, and the fact that Mega Evolutions are coming to Pokemon Go. We'll learn even more next week when Pokemon Presents returns on June 24, a show which will contain news of another major Pokemon project. So there was a lot of stuff in that story to get excited about if you are a Pokemon fan. If you've been brushing your teeth and sitting there going, why the fuck could I not be doing this with some kind of Pokemon theme? They finally have an answer for you. You got the Pokemon Smile coming out. Oh, God.
Yes.
But look, the main meat and potatoes of this story is Pokemon Snap, clearly. I had a look at the little reveal trailer. It looks very pretty. I don't have a lot of nostalgia for this one. My experience with Pokemon Snap is as much as there was a local RSL who had a bunch of N64s set up in some room so parents wouldn't have to deal with their children. And one of the games on there was Pokemon Snap. So I remember playing through that plenty of times when I was a youngin'. But Christofini, you are our guest, so I'd love to know, are you pumped about a new Pokemon Snap coming to Nintendo Switch?
Dude, 100%, man. So back in the day when I had my Nintendo 64, I didn't have Pokemon Snap, but I used to rent it from the old Video Easy. So back in the day,
when we used to
rent like the old Nintendo 64 games, it was one game I didn't have, but I would like kind of just grab it and always kind of take it out on a bit of a date on a few weekends, I reckon. And one of my friends also had it as well. I don't know why I didn't buy it.
I know why you didn't buy it. And you were right not to buy it.
Yeah, so like, I think I was like, I was playing it and I was like, I don't really quite understand. Like, I want to play the Pokemon and I want to, do you know what I mean? I don't want to take photos of it. So that's why I think I hired it out maybe a few times because I was like, I'm missing something here, but I think I wasn't. But then I think my tastes have changed and right now I'm actually looking forward to this. But I think it'd be a pretty cool chill game and they're going to, you know, update it pretty well.
Yeah, well, I saw all those. It looked pretty and has all the pretty new Pokemon and stuff in it for people who are a fan of some of the newer generation stuff, I guess.
I got to say, I disagree in that pretty comment. I saw demos of the game in the trailer on the Switch. It looks barely like an upgrade in graphics from the Nintendo 64 version that came out over 20 years ago at this point. Like, holy shit. Yeah,
dude, you need to look at like a graphics comparison because it is clearly a huge improvement. The size of the polygons on the old game is fucking
the mere fact that you need to bring up polygons as your argument. I feel like it's already a moot point. It's like it's a stretch.
It's a Switch game. We're not looking at a PC game or a fucking PS4 or an Xbox game. It's going to not look as good because it's running on something that's basically Xbox 360 hardware.
Yes.
It's just an Android hardware.
Agreed. Agreed. And that's the problem. That's the problem, Zach. That's the exact issue. So, first of all, Chris, I totally agree with you. And I think we have very similar sort of backgrounds with Pokemon Snap because I never bought it myself, but I played it whenever I went to other mates' houses because they had it. And it was one of those games where it was, I think what was appealing about it as a kid is it was the first sort of, it was the first 3D version of Pokemon other than Pokemon Stadium. So it gave you a feel for what could be like an open world Pokemon game. And so it was giving you like just a glimpse of what you really wanted as a kid, but it didn't quite give it to you. You were on the rails. You were just taking photos of watching these Pokemon pop out and things. And you know, cut to 20 years later, Pokemon Sword and Shield still looks nothing like what even Pokemon Snap envisaged a living, breathing Pokemon world to be. So it's an interesting one, and I am curious about the new game. It's just when I saw the new footage, like holy fuck, I've seen Bandai Namco games, and this is like the worst looking Bandai Namco game I've ever seen. And this is a game that's entirely based on aesthetic. You're on the rails taking photos of the things you're looking at, and it looks like dog shit. And I understand that's because it's a Switch. Switch has limited capabilities. But that's sort of the issue, is that you have, like, you know, it's the wrong game for that console. It would work on a different console.
That's a fair call. It is always something that annoys the shit out of me, that Pokemon is just fucking permanently connected to all Nintendo, Nintendo only consoles and developers and whatnot. I'd love to see another developer get a crack at a Pokemon RPG. I think it's ridiculous that they just let one developer do it all the time, so then they don't have to bother innovating at all.
But
like, I guess we're getting the best possible thing that we could get if we were a Pokemon Snap fan. So if you're someone who is a fan of the N64 one, this is going to look better, and it's probably going to play better as well, too. So, I don't know. For me, I don't give a shit. I'm not going to be picking this one up. I'm not very excited about this at all. It's a Pokemon game without any gameplay.
If you could, like, do selfies with your friends with Pokemon in the background.
I barely like looking at myself in the mirror, let alone taking a selfie with
Pokemon. Oh, that's true. No, yeah. I don't want my real face there. I want my character there.
Yeah.
Oh, you want your like really lazily designed Pokemon anime.
I want
face.
Them polygons.
Yeah,
in the background.
the thing I did really enjoy in the old Pokemon games was more just like throwing out the fruit and whatever shit you could throw to sort of fuck with the Pokemon and get them to do different things.
Yeah.
So I think if they double down on that, then there could be a little bit of fun in it, but it's going to be like a, you know, probably like a 2-3 hour experience or something like that with not a whole lot of gameplay. But I dare say if you're a kid who's a fan of Pokemon, kids would love this because it'd be super simple and easy for them to play. And if you're a big kid who played Pokemon Snap back in the day, then yeah, I think it'd probably be a bit of a no-brainer.
I mean, Pokemon's not a hard game to play in general. It's a spoon feeding experience. I enjoy it. I still love Pokemon, but like, you know, I don't have any delusions as to it being a complex game. It's complex if you're in the competitive sphere.
I see. More for people like my nephew when he was like 6. He was obsessed with Pokemon, and he got a 3DS, and he just, because he couldn't read that well, he had no idea what the fuck was ever going on and just couldn't get into the game. So I think for For younger kids, like quite young, they'll fucking lap this the fuck up for sure.
And it's an interesting point that you make that, it is a game that's fundamentally designed for the younger age demographic. So it's just weird that they pulled a game that is 20 years old and has had no information about it in recent times, and they're using that as their flagship for a new, really young kiddies game. So like, only people, you know, nearing their 30s will remember this game and have fond memories. So they have that niche market. Like, will it really translate to young children getting excited about this particular title?
I think it will. I reckon it will, definitely. Yeah. I reckon anything with Pokemon, man, they can slap Pokemon on anything and people will go straight towards it. And especially if it's quite simple as well. And it's got a bit of depth in there with, you know, taking photos of Pokemon. And then it's what you said, Zach, like just kind of like throwing stuff at Pokemon and making them do different stuff. I think that would be pretty cool. And then now with like social media, you could probably like share your snaps online.
Oh yeah.
I hope you can throw like cocaine at them and shit and see them go absolutely ape shit in their environment.
I feel like Pikachu's already on cocaine, but he might OD on it.
Yeah, I want a Pikachu that has a heart attack after running around in circles for like 30 minutes straight. Yeah,
and are you telling me Weezing isn't stoned? Weezing's definitely... His name's Weezing. He's stoned. Anyway. Bloody, I completely agree with you what you're saying there about if they can slap Pokemon on anything and it will sell. Like, yeah, they Pokemon as an IP is the has generated more capital than any other IP in existence. So they you're definitely right there, and then people are definitely going to be jumping on board 100%. But look, moving on from something that I'm not very excited about to something that I'm super super pumped for. So this may this news may disappoint a few of us out there. There has been a bit of a update from the developers of Cyberpunk 2077. CD Projekt Red, they have said, "We have decided to move the launch of Cyberpunk 2077 from September 17th to November 19th. Those of you who are familiar with the way we make games know that we won't ship something which is not ready. Ready when it's done is not just a phrase we say because it sounds right, it's something we live by, even when we know we'll take the heat for it. At the same time, we are fully aware that making such a decision costs us your trust, and trading trust for additional time is one of the hardest decisions a game developer can make. And despite we think it's the right decision for the game, we'd still like to apologize for making you wait longer. Our intention is to make Cyberpunk 2077 something that will stay with you for years to come. In the end, we hope you understand why we did what we did." So they go on for a little bit further there, but I think it's pretty clear what the message they're trying to get across. They're just saying, yeah, it's not ready yet, and we're not going to put out something that's not ready. Now, generally, I would say I'm completely fine with that sentiment. Take as long as you want with games. You know, this game could come out in 2025. I don't care, just so long as they see it to the vision that they are trying to have. But there's been rumors around for a long time and all but basically confirmed with the amount of articles that have been written that CD Projekt Red have some pretty, pretty brutal crunch times, and that is particularly before the release of a game. And we've already seen this game be delayed. This is the third time now. Now, if they were doing this and just, you know, and they were buying time and not, you know, crunching the shit out of their staff, I'd be like, yeah, good on them, you know, they're taking their time so their staff can still see their families. But they're just, yeah, they're being crunched to the absolute bone right now. And now they've got to deal with an extra couple of months on that, and then probably got to continue doing that with DLC afterwards. So look, as much as I'm not disappointed that it got delayed because the game's coming out at a later date, I couldn't care about that. But yeah, I'm just a bit disappointed that we may see some developers just, you know, copying some more shit around this already kind of pretty tense and shitty time that we're having. Lachlan. I don't know why I called you Lachlan again. Lockie.
Hey, Lachlan.
What do you
Lachlan's
think?
My name
are
as
you
well.
As depressed you as I am about this?
Call me what you want. I think based on what I saw in the demos of Cyberpunk, I'm glad to hear that they're taking their time with releasing it, because I wasn't particularly engaged in what I saw. I didn't think it looked like a bad game or anything. Not like the disaster of Pokemon Snap, like definitely anytime a developer says that we need more time to focus on the game, I think is a very positive thing. I still have very strong memories of highly anticipated game for me was Total War Rome 2. And when that came out on release, that was an absolute fucking nightmare, riddled with graphics issues and all these sorts of glitches. And you couldn't, the game would fucking crash every 5 seconds and half of the things just didn't work. So, like, I always see that as a big positive. And I think that strikes me as a game company that believes in its content a little bit more than sometimes other game companies seem to when they rush out an unfinished title.
Yeah. Well, look, as I said, I agree with that sentiment. Like, I totally think they should wait until the games are done. You know, Rockstar's renowned for that as well, too. But, you know, Rockstar as well, they crunch their employees as well. I don't know. I'm down for them to do it. I just think they should just have, they should try and have some reasonable work hours, I guess. I don't know. Are you disappointed about this delay at all, Chris?
So I'm never disappointed with delays. With my old age now, this gives me more time to play other games. But this delay has said one thing to me, and that is I'm going to be playing this on the PS5. I'm not going to be playing on the PS4. So yeah, that was kind of a bit of a like, okay, it looks like I'm going to be playing this on my PS5. So I'll just wait until I get a PS5 and then play it on that. And get all the gloriness of playing on that. So yeah.
Yeah, sort totally. Well, they have said that if you do have a PS4 copy of it, it will work.
Yeah, it will.
On the
PS5. Yeah.
But I don't believe they're going to have the actual PS5 version of the game out until next year.
Yeah. So I'll buy it on PS4, but I won't play it on PS4. I'll do the old chuck it in the PS5.
It's such a weird thing to think. Now that, like, I had the same realization with Assassin's Creed Valhalla, we're like, holy shit, the end of this year, I'm going to be playing these games on a PS fucking 5. It's such a weird thought to actually have it. It didn't occur to me with Cyberpunk until you said it just then.
I don't know. Hold your breath on that. All this shit's getting delayed.
It does make me a bit more excited, though, to get a PS5 because, you know, the release titles, like, you know, it's just like, like, nothing's really making me want to go out there to buy a PS5 because of the games launching. But this makes me kind of go, sick, man, I get to play, like, Cyberpunk, like, on a PS5. So it's just another game that, like, when I get a PS5, I'll be excited about and get to use it. So,
I'm totally with you there. Like, I think the only really good launch game, we don't even know if it is going to be launch. They've said holiday time, so we assume it's going to be launch because that's when the PlayStation's, if not, it's going to be really close to it, I'd imagine, is the Spider-Man Miles Morales game. But that's not even going to be a full title. That's going to be like your Uncharted Lost Legacy, and I'm totally down for that. I'm super pumped. I can't wait to play it. But yeah, it's not going to be a full title to launch the system with. So yeah, I think in the first year, like Ratchet, we're probably not going to expect to see this year. They didn't say holiday time for that. So I'd say at least 2021 for Ratchet. And then Horizon, I'd say 2021, maybe even 2022. They didn't give us a release window for that. And, you know, they do announce some games like 2 to 3 years out. Last of Us Part 2 was announced back in 2016, so 4 years ago. So it could be a while before we start seeing some of those exclusives on there. So I think, you're right, with the PS5, we're really coming into it with the good third-party stuff. So hopefully Assassin's Creed Valhalla's good, and Cyberpunk 2077's all right, because, I can't wait to give those a play on next-gen consoles.
That'll be great.
After I've sold all my possessions to be able to fucking buy the thing. Oh, God. But yeah, so I guess it's interesting. We're all in the same boat here, I think, to some degree. We're all, and I'm the same with any delay as well, too. Yeah, bring them on if they need them. More than happy. I'm never going to complain if a developer says they need more time. I think it can only be a good thing. As Lockie said before, we've seen too many Rush games come out that end up not being the greatest. Rush, and no one likes having to play a game that becomes good 6 months after release due to patches. But that'll do us for our main juicy stories for this week. I've got a bunch of quick stories here as well too. Our first one is that PAX Australia has been cancelled. Well, their exact words were postponed to 2021. Yeah, that means cancelled, guys.
That means like 2021 PAX is maybe happening.
Wait. So that means so that means 2020 PAX will happen in 2021. So there'll be 2020 yeah. like banners everywhere and everything. It's been postponed. that is the definition of postpone.
So are we getting two PAXes on
2021? No, 2021 will be postponed to 2022, and it's just going to keep happening like that unless we get another global crisis.
I'm totally down for two PAXes, and we can call it two PAXes.
Two PAXes.
Two PAX.
Okay. Ba-dum-tsh. They are PAX is going to be doing some online stuff, though, as well, too. So look forward to seeing a lot more digital content coming out of PAX Australia.
There'll be a PAX only fans and things like that. You have game developers.
I hope we get to virtually line up. That'd be fun. Virtually lining up to play games and stuff.
Game developers are taking their tops off and everything just to go, look, we 2020's been a wash. We don't have anything, but like, I'll fucking show you me naked so at least you'll buy our shit in 2021. Come on.
If they had a PAX only fans, it'd all just be weird Rule 34 shit anyway. It'd just be pregnant Sonics and whatever. But bloody, I'm totally dead. If they don't have virtual queues, I'm not attending the digital event because it just wouldn't be PAX without waiting in a queue.
And so. Dan Dan's
but yeah, I guess
evolution.
In all seriousness, though, the main reason I'm really disappointed about this, is because, firstly, it would have been my first, big games event. I was, excited about that, but then I would have got to meet all my new podcasting friends that I met, like you, Chris, and Roger, and everyone. There's so many of yous over in Melbourne that would have been fantastic, but I guess gonna have to wait another year before I get to.
You don't need to spend that money and sucks. Save up for that PS5,
Yeah.
Oh,
there
dude,
you go.
100%. That was like my second thought was, I'm gonna have more money in my pocket to be able to afford this fucking expensive ass modem I'm about to buy. Damn.
For anyone that doesn't know, Zach has the worst internet connection and Wi-Fi in all of Australia. It's fucking shocking.
I was actually referring to
What it looks
the
like
of the PlayStation 5. Yeah. We actually already got a good new modem. The problem is our internet speed's terrible. So we're
so your internet's still trash.
Yeah,
the internet's still trash.
You're on fucking dial-up still. It's shocking.
It may as well be. It may as well be. This next little excerpt comes out of GameSpot and was written by Eddie McCuck. I'm assuming it's pronounced that way. After confirming that a leak on the Xbox website was legitimate last week, Electronic Arts has officially announced Star Wars Squadrons. Described as an immersive first-person space dogfighting experience, Squadrons is scheduled to release on October 2nd for PS4, Xbox One, and PC for $40. So you're probably looking at about $60 to $70 in Australia. The game will also be playable in virtual reality on PS4 and PC, though EA did not specify which headsets will be supported beyond PSVR, nor did they say if it will come to PS5 and Xbox Series X. So, for me, I like Star Wars. I'm not a crazy, a super obsessed Star Wars fan. So I don't play absolutely everything that's Star Wars. But, potentially if they do a good job of this, I could see myself playing a bit of a Star Wars Dogfighter, I don't know. Wait and see. Maybe if I get a PSVR, it'd be an interesting one to pick up. Are you going to be picking up Star Wars Squadrons when it comes around October 2nd, Chris?
Man. I'm super keen for this. Probably not the PvP kind of stuff, but I'm a big thing for the co-op with friends and going in there.
So there's going to be PvE in this?
Yeah. Yeah. So
that gets way more pumped.
Yeah, dude.
Okay,
yeah. So it's going to be
please continue.
Yeah, these big missions and stuff that you'll be able to do together, and that'd be sick. And I'm a sucker for customization, man. And when I saw customizing your pilot and your X-wings or all the ships and stuff, I'm like, oh, dude, that's me. Get me down. I know. I'm like EA's dream. Customer. Yeah. They're like,
how do you feel about the customization of ponchos in Fallen Order?
Did you play that? No, I didn't actually.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh, you got to play that. Yeah. That's a good game. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but, like, yeah, I'm totally down for this, for Squadrons. Yeah. It did make me think, though. I was like, I really, really want a VR headset, dude, because this in VR would be off titties.
Yes, and did it say that you could play co-op in VR as well too?
Yeah, you'd be able to do a co-op mission
in VR with your mates. That'd be fucking awesome.
I feel like it's the same. Like if you play, like you know, like say Roger's got a VR headset, he could be playing in VR, and I could just be playing off the TV. But man, just like looking around, and then looking at your little drone behind you and stuff, and like, dude, this game has literally nearly pushed me over the fence, and be like, yeah, you need a VR headset now. And it's weird. Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of think of like playing it with like, you know, Roger and stuff and everyone having VR headsets and being like, this is like fucking insane, man.
That does sound pretty good. I reckon in the multiplayer.
Why'd you have to say that?
Yeah. I reckon in the multiplayer space, that'd be awesome on a VR headset. Everyone's like frantically trying to shoot everyone in space. I mean, like, yeah, it seems like a good game. EA has fucking knocked it out of the park recently with all their Star Wars titles, so, you know.
And I think the big thing that was there was no microtransactions. Like, what?
Yeah, shit. As soon as you said customizing, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to just...
No, man, you unlock stuff by playing the game.
What?
Holy shit,
oh my God. Wow.
That must be a new mechanic. That surely hasn't existed before. In games. I'm pretty sure, unless you have a credit card, you can't progress.
I did when Roger told me that, I did ask him to repeat that 4 times. So I didn't believe him. And then I was freaking out. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Wow. But, EA's really grown. Little EA, they've grown up. They've become semi-ethical company.
But then you see good old Star Wars Battlefront, and you think, they had no microtransactions, and bam, we got microtransactions. So, who knows? I wouldn't say anything yet. It could still happen.
Wait, hang on. Yeah, what was their wording? Did they say there will be no microtransactions, or did they say there will be no microtransactions at launch? Because they're very different.
Yeah,
things.
That's a good point.
Because I remember a little game called Crash Team Racing, a beloved nostalgia fueled remake that came out last year. That came out with no microtransactions.
Yeah,
and like a month later, they patched it into the game.
Yeah, it did just say like no microtransactions.
That was Activision though. Like it's not EA. That is a different company, but still.
Yeah, but also like they'll just call it a different word. They'll change the term to like macro transactions and oh yes, no microtransactions. This is macro. You're paying more money. I don't know. Like, if they're going to stick them in there, they'll stick them in there.
Yeah.
They're called Little Spends.
Little Spends.
Little Spends. That's good.
Spends.
That's adorable. That's very appealing. I wouldn't mind a Little Spend.
I fancy a Little Spend this afternoon.
Little Spend.
Buddy, it's funny. I was so tepid on this when I first mentioned it, but fucking just hearing you talk about everyone getting the VR headsets on.
Playing
co-op. Like,
the mode where you play co-op, it's called Fleet Battles, and that's when you kind of like go together and take down like, you know, a massive ship or whatever, and you do it together and stuff. You can do it solo as well, but... Yeah, dude, I'm super pumped. And I think the PvP would be too intense. Like, people would be so good at it as well. So, yeah, this is definitely down my alley, the old, you know, co-op, and let's suck together and try and beat the AI.
I
hope you get to be able to play as that, what's his name? He's the bad guy in the golden dress in the new ones. What's that? Snoke. I hope you get to play as Snoke in the golden dress. That'd be fun.
Well, the customization looks pretty good with the pilot. Like, you can full customize their whole face and stuff like that. And
I want to play as Snoke without a ship just flying around in space. Then I'm happy.
Oh, fuck. How funny would it be as you get to play as Carrie Fisher? Leia. Yeah, Carrie Fisher just just floating through space. And she doesn't even have an aircraft. She's just shooting laser beams from her hands and shit. That'd be so good.
God, that movie was a shit show.
Yeah, work in a game. It would work so well in a game.
Hidden character is Human Toad.
Oh, Human Toad in every game. Fucking hell. Human Toad in Smash. Oh, God. Okay, all right. This next quick story, that was meant to be a quick one. This next quick story is No Man's Sky goes cross-platform. I just love whenever games go cross-platform. I'm all for every game becoming cross-platform. And speaking of EA, EA had a little event not too long ago, and they announced Rocket Arena, sort of like a multiplayer arena rocket game, as you can sort of tell from the title, is coming out July 14th. Then big shocker announcement, Madden 21 and FIFA 21 to be coming out this year. I know. It's I'll let that sink in, fellas. We are getting a new Madden and a new FIFA. But the really big, really big announcement, other than Madden and FIFA, of course, is there's a new skate game coming. Now, Skate 3 has become like a cult hit. I don't know. I heard back in the day it didn't get the greatest sort of reviews and whatnot, but people, for some reason, a few years later, just really, really got stuck into that game, and it, to the point where it's like pretty hard to find these days if you want to track it down and give it a play. Am I right? I don't know if I'm remembering correctly. You're a fan of Skate 3, Chris?
Yeah, man. I'm a massive skating gamer. I did skate back in the day for, like, you know, 10 years or something. So, like, whenever a skate game came out, I was, like, super, like, excited.
That's right. You broke Roger's leg.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, broke Roger's leg.
I'm sorry, what?
No, that needs no more context.
That's it. Ah, okay, right. Yeah, a massive, massive skateboarding gamer. You can pick it up on the... You can pick Skate 3 up on the Xbox store for, like, $8 and play it on your Xbox One.
Shit. Yeah. Fuck, PlayStation sucks.
Yeah, dude, 100%. So I've got Skate... 3 games I'm playing. All my Skate games are on PlayStation, but they're out in, the lounge room, so I don't play games out there anyway, and I just want to play Skate. And I was like, man, I don't want to go out there and play it. So I was like... I tried to find an actual physical copy of the game and couldn't find it anywhere. And if I did, it was like $40. I'm like, I'm not paying $40 for this. So I checked the digital store, and they normally boost their prices up when it's like backwards compatible and stuff. And then I saw it and it was $7. I was like, what? I was like, sick. I'm down. But Yeah, Skate 3 is good. Probably not the best out of the whole series. Probably number 2 was the best, but it was still really good. It gets you your fix of skateboarding games. And last year, I would have frothed over this news. Absolutely frothed. But now, seeing we knew last year that we were never going to get a skate game, EA were like, mate, you're not getting your skate games. Just go away. Stop asking for it. Other companies are like, you know what? Screw this. We're going to make our own skate games. Hence, Sessions, that's just come out on Xbox, and Skater XL, that's come out on PC, that is coming on all the consoles in like 2 months. And boy, they are fantastic. One is a simulation game, and that's Skater XL. And the modding community is quite big in that. And Sessions is probably your skate game, like your skate kind of control game. It's a cross between arcade and sim. And now I think EA has seen all the hype around these skate games. They're like, we want a bit of this pie now. Let's make a skate game. And the way they announced it was very interesting. They were like, yeah, we're making a skateboarding game, but we're not going to tell you what it is or anything.
It's very early development, mate, I believe. It's
honestly reckon they had a meeting probably last week and said, let's just announce it and we're going to do it. Okay, sick. So I think they're pretty far off. Everyone's excited. I'm not as excited as what I would normally be excited about, but because I've got obviously Skater XL, and that is like my perfect skateboarding game. So I will.
I'm a big fan of Microsoft Excel, so I imagine it's something similar to that.
Yeah, definitely. Just with grids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Putting formulas in. And all that kind of stuff. It's pretty sick. Definitely pretty sick.
Sweet. You can make pivot tables in your.
Yeah.
You can pivot. Pivot's a skating thing, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. That sort of works.
gotta grind those grids, you know.
Grind those grids.
Buddy, I gotta say, I think you're absolutely right with that bit of speculation there about EA. Like, there's been so much hype about skateboarding games recently with the games you mentioned, plus, you know, the big announcement of the remake of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, which people are just creaming over.
Mm.
Yeah, they're clearly trying to sort of ride that rail. And moving on, because that is all of our quick stories this week, we have a returning segment. We haven't done it for quite a while. God, we did it many weeks in a row for a bit, and it's been a while since we've done it. It's time for Somebody's Leaking. Now, this Somebody's Leaking. It comes out of Kotaku and was written by Alex Walker. Rumors were flying around about a Crash Bandicoot sequel earlier this week, and Taiwan's National Ratings Agency has done everything solid of confirming them. Meet Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time.
Ooh.
Gematsu reported on the listing popping up on the Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee. The game is a direct sequel to the previous Crash games, with the quantum masks generating a rift. The listing confirms the box art for both, which reveals that the Xbox One version of the game will support Xbox Series X. So if you've seen the box art, it's basically just Crash with a goofy look on his face. You see a bunch of random masks in the background. You got a Coco there as well too. I don't know, nothing too fantastic or exciting or inventive there, but I guess we're going to have to wait and see to what they come out with. Crash is relaxing and exploring his island in his time, 1998, when he finds a mysterious mask hidden away in a cave, Lanny Lolly. The mask is one of the quantum masks and apparently knows Aku Aku, Crash's mask friend. With the quantum mask returning and a quantum rift appearing near our heroes, they decide to bravely head through to different times and dimensions to stop whoever is responsible. It sounds a little like the plan for Ratchet and Clank, where the pair find themselves traveling through time and multiple dimensions. Some influencers and press started teasing packages from Activision PR earlier today, so this reveal makes sense. The game's being developed by Californian developers Toys for Bob, a studio better known for creating the original Star Control games. More recently, Toys for Bob have worked on the Spyro remasters and Skylanders for Activision, both of which have been a massive success. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy alone sold more copies than most AAA games. Activision revealed to investors that Insane Trilogy had moved 10 million units by February 2019. We are getting a new Crash game. Holy fucking shit. A friend of mine from work mentioned this to me. I'm like, yeah, look, there's definitely a Crash game coming, but why would it be anytime soon? Like, I don't see any reason why now would be the time, but it seems that this leak out of Taiwan there has all but confirmed it. We've got, you know, we've got the game covers and everything. We know what it looks like. We know what the description of the game and the plot. Yeah. A new Crash game. Holy fucking shit. Lockie, I know. Did you have a PlayStation growing up?
I did. I played Crash. I loved it.
Are you a fan of the Crash games?
Yeah, yeah. I'm stoked. It was a matter, as you say, it was only a matter of time after the trilogy was remastered. That was a big success. Mm. Clearly, it established that clearly people still enjoy the franchise. They want to play a good platforming game. I love the title, so I hope it's real. It's About Time is a very clever title for that sort of one, because it obviously fits within both context inside and outside of the game. Yeah, awesome. Bring on more Crash.
You as well, Chris?
Yeah. I played Crash 1, didn't play the other two, and then when the remastered came out, I saw people play it and they're like, this is so hard. And I was like, yes, old games are hard. I feel like I've gone like dumber or something, like the older I get, like the worse I am at video games. And then when I saw this, I was like, oh gosh, is this going to be hard? and really frustrating. And then like you read it was just like, what did it say? Like Crash is relaxing and exploring his island. I was like, yeah, I hope it's relaxing. that would be fun. But I'm keen for it, man. Like, of course. But I won't probably pick it up straight away. I'd like to see someone play it so I know what I'm getting myself into.
Yeah, totally. I'm cautiously optimistic about this one. I really loved the Crash games when I was a kid. I never really played one. I didn't own that one. But 2 and 3, I played the absolute hell out of. I even played Crash Bash, which was made by Naughty Dog as well, which I love that. A lot of people weren't the biggest fans of that one.
What was that
and
game?
And obviously CT... it was just a weird sort of... It was Mario Party, but with Crash characters. It was just them
doing the rip-off thing
like they did with CTR.
That was great. I mean, they had to.
Yeah, there was a couple of years they just kept ripping off Nintendo, and why not? Everyone was doing it, I guess. But And the thing for me was I felt like Crash lost it pretty much as soon as Naughty Dog stepped away and they sold off that IP. Because, yeah, the Crash game on PS2 I wasn't really a fan of. And I remember I played that Twinsanity one. I wasn't a fan of that either. And it just felt like they'd sort of lost what they were from back in the day. But look, if Toys for Bob did a good job with the remaster of Spyro, who knows how they're going to go with the Crash game. I'm kind of surprised they didn't give it to Vicarious Visions, who I believe did the Insane trilogy. Maybe Vicarious Visions is working on something else right now. It's a big wait and see for me. Other developers doing Crash, I feel like it's them like trying to do their own imitation of it. Yeah, especially because it's an Activision joint as well too. I can just see it being like a corporate cash grab. I don't know. Well, it's a big wait and see, I think, for me on this one, but I will definitely be checking it out, that's for sure. But that'll do us for our stories this week. Just moving on quickly to the games that came out this week, there's been a fair bit released. We had Summer in Mara come to PC and Nintendo Switch. Disintegration came to PS4, Xbox One, and PC. I've heard very mixed things about that. I'd check out gameplay videos if you're interested at all. Darius Cosmic Collection Console came to PS4 and Nintendo Switch. Darius Cosmic Collection Arcade came to PS4 and Nintendo Switch. Desperados 3, I believe, is like a tactic style game, which I've heard very, very good things about. Maybe consider checking it out if you're a fan of those style of games, like a stealth tactic game. That came to PS4, Xbox One, and PC. West of Dead came to PC, Xbox, and Xbox One. Waking came to PC and Xbox One, with sitting at 37 right now on Metacritic for that one. So maybe check out some reviews of that one before you check it out. Burnout Paradise Remastered came to Nintendo Switch on June 19th. And something else that came out on June 19th is The Last of Us Part 2. And with that little tease, we'll just take a short break and then we'll get back in with the games that we've been playing. I have some stuff I really want to talk about, but I'm going to wait. Let's get Lockie's fucking impressions out of the road.
Fuck you! Fuck you, man. Jeez, whatever.
Lockie, I'm so excited for you to tell me about what you've been playing. Please tell me.
You're such a cunt. Okay, so this is the one time I actually have something worth talking about. So the and you just shit all over it. So for anyone that's not living under a rock, we are all aware that Pokemon, out of fucking nowhere, Sword and Shield has released their first expansion pass content for the Nintendo Switch. Now, it's funny. Before I even talk about the expansion pass content, I do want to mention, like how much of a fucking bullshit money grabbing scheme they sort of work their content passes in. If you have Pokemon Sword, you are buying expansion pass content for Sword exclusive content only. So you need to have Sword and Shield, and you need to buy the expansion pass twice for both of those game titles to get the full Pokemon experience. Like, there's all these weird little split divisions. So, like, that already, you're like fucking $250 down the hole if you actually want to get everything Pokemon Sword and Shield has to offer at the moment. But, going into it, I know, it's a bit that. Before I get into it, Chris, have you played Pokemon? You interested in any of this?
Yeah, I've got Pokemon Sword. I haven't finished it. I got to the last gym.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, my Pokemon are like nowhere near powerful enough. I have to just go around and just level them up and catch them. And I was just like,
are you serious? Wow.
Yeah. I was just like, I can be fucked.
Did you just catch some fresh Pokemon? Because when I played through, I found I was way overpowered.
Oh, well, yeah, no. I
agreed, yeah.
Well, yeah. No, I don't think... No, actually, I think I'm... I'll probably say that the wrong way. I'm close to it, but I want to be in there and just creaming it, you know?
Yeah.
So... I think that's what I was doing. I think I was just like,
actually kill a Pokemon, not just faint it. You want to murder
it. I want to murder it. Yeah, I want to murder it. So, yeah, I'm at the last gym. But, you know, I like Sword. Yeah. Sword's been awesome. I think it's definitely one of my favorite Pokemon games.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of those guys that will buy Sword and Shield for...
Yeah.
Like, in my head, I'm just like, it's the same fucking game, but with, like, a few different Pokemon. Like,
yeah, you know, you don't get your Rainbow Ponyta.
Yeah.
It's It's kind of fucked. I don't like how Nintendo sort of operates, where it's just trying to squeeze every last drop of cash out of a select consumer base.
Have you got Sword and Shield?
No, I don't have Sword and Shield. Oh, okay. No, I just have Sword as well. And I reckon it's bullshit that, like, they're making, like, only a handful of Pokemon. Like, we're talking about 5 to 10 Pokemon that are exclusive to one pass over the other. And what, you need to fork out another $40 just to get 5 exclusive Pokemon? Like, people will do it, and Nintendo knows that, and it's just kind of fucked up that they operate in that sort of way. Like, give them something more.
I suppose a lot of DLCs are like, you know, there's a lot of shit DLCs out there that you're originally buying for, like, a pair of shoes, a cape, but I don't know. But, yeah, there's always people going to be buying, like, shitty DLC.
Yeah.
And I think the people who are buying the same game twice, well, if I was them, I'd be like, yes, you guys are suckers.
it's true. Like, I'm not in that pool. And that's why I thought it's important to mention that. So I'm not reviewing all of the possible versions of the fucking expansion pass. I'm reviewing Pokemon Sword, the first expansion pass variant. So that's one of four potential variants you can have at the moment. So it's just getting smaller and smaller, these little niche tunnels. But yeah, pretty much in terms of the actual first expansion pass content, you have to spend $40, and they have effectively divided this DLC into two DLC. So you're paying for DLC that hasn't come out yet. It'll come out in, towards the holiday period of this year. 2020, and you're paying for the first DLC content where they have you on this new island offshoot of the main Pokemon game, where it feels very side questy. So it's one of those interesting ones where it doesn't feel like an expansion. It feels like it was always meant to be in the main game. Ooh. And it feels like if you've ever played any of the older Pokemon games, it's not just you go to one gym, then you go to the next gym, and you beat those gyms, you beat the Elite Four, you finish the game. There's always, in the earlier Pokemon games, there was always these additional stuff you did. You fought Team Rocket in these various places. You fought the main antagonist in all the, you know, in a strong variety of different areas. You had little towns and little side stories and little, I don't know, you just had a little bit more variety than that. And that's sort of where that was missing from the Pokemon Sword Shield base game. And this is where these expansion passes are starting to give you really the side quests that probably should have been in the original game. So this one is based around you're exploring this fighter's island, and you go to this dojo where you very Chinese action movie sort of dojo, you know, with kung fu sort of themes going on, where you do a couple of quests for that. It's not bad. It's one of those passes where I wouldn't recommend it in terms of being, you're not getting good value for the $40 that you're spending. You're not going to get $40 worth of base game content. You're not getting a strong expansion, but if you want to get a little bit more out of the Pokemon experience and you felt like Sword and Shield was lacking, it definitely does deliver on that, and it gives you a few quality of life upgrades. So your Pokemon can follow you around in this new section. There's a bit of environmental variety to this new section, which is nice. It feels a lot more lived in. So, like, you... first thing you see when you enter this expansion pass area, you see a fucking massive whale lord in the sea in the background, and you see all of these Pokemon moving around that sort of look... It looks a lot more lifelike than you see, like, fucking Wingulls just gliding around with stiff animations in the original game. So, I don't know. It's the hardest thing to describe. It's very weak. It's very weak, but it gives you just enough.
You just mentioned the mechanic of how you can have the Pokemon follow you around. I saw when I was doing the research for this episode, I saw an article from Kotaku saying, oh, Pokemon now lets you have your Pokemon follow you around. Now, my big problem with this is that this mechanic was throughout the entirety of Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. You could choose whatever Pokemon you wanted to follow you around.
Yeah.
And they took it out of... Mm-hmm. Pokemon Sword and Shield, and then sold it back to you for fucking $40.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's worse. hang on. It's worse as well.
Yeah.
Because you can only have your Pokemon follow you around in that expansion area. They couldn't even fucking patch the original one so that you could do it throughout the rest of the game as well.
Yeah.
And Kotaku's reporting it like, oh, you can have your Pokemon follow you around. Finally. Now. That's new.
Yeah,
haven't seen that since Pokemon Yellow. No, fuck you. So the Pokemon game literally a year or two ago. Like,
oh, no. Yeah. Nintendo. Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu. Same release. Same year release. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm over Nintendo and what they do with Pokemon. Fucking release your leash off them a little bit, you know, let them out of that Pokeball so they can, you know, have a bit of freedom. Let another developer do something with it or fucking whatever. I don't know. But yeah.
No, but
that expansion just sounds like a fucking joke to me. I think I'm done with Pokemon now. Like, they're gonna have to fucking wow me with whatever next title if I'm even going to consider buying it, because Pokemon Sword and Shield was boring as shit.
Agreed. And exactly like you, Chris, I couldn't make it to the end of Sword and Shield either, because I just got bored with the game. Like, you know, it's a nice looking game in terms of the actual Pokemon battles and fights, and that's all good, but like the challenge, they still haven't got the challenge right. So in this new expansion,
though, that's the whole thing. It's not made for us. Like, all they do for us Pokemon fans is throw us little fucking Easter eggs and nods. It's made and designed for kids because they know us fucking adults are going to buy it anyway because we have nostalgia for it, and we keep doing it over and over and over.
That is
again.
True.
So they're going to keep making these fucking games where they barely change a fucking thing because they can.
That's true. But I will say, but on the point of the challenge issue, that should have been. Like, okay, so I'll explain to you the issue with the challenge and the level system. You get this expansion pass, right? And you're meant to basically have finished the base game to get to this expansion pass. And to finish the base game, you have to have your Pokemon around level 55, 60 and above. You go into the expansion pass area, your first fight with your new rival, cool rival, by the way, I actually like her, Clara, it's a good design, but your first fight is with a level 12 Venipede. So that's your first introduction into this new island, it's very confusing, so like, and also you have very few fights on this island, so it's quite boring in that sense. It really is just a let's explore and catch some new exclusives sort of island. And they do an all right job in that respect, but it's not yeah, you have very, very disappointing Pokemon battles because you're basically, like, it's boring. It's very boring.
Who the fuck is this for? Like, yeah, the whole point of the expansion is to expand on the game, and they're giving you entry-level enemies to battle? That doesn't make any sense. Like,
no, exactly.
Is this for someone who's just bought Sword and Shield and then got the expansion immediately so they have shit Pokemon? Like,
yeah,
what kind of fucking game design is that?
It's very confusing. Yeah, it's very confusing. And here's another kicker. Like, so you do the first, you do the main quest line when you go in there, and they reward you in your first mission with the starters from the original generation. You can choose between Squirtle or Bulbasaur, and immediately I'm pissed because I want Charizard. I like Charmander. So where's my fucking Charmander? Yeah. Anyway, so it's one of those things where if you enjoyed the base game and you want to get a little bit more, you want to play the game a little bit longer for maybe a day at most, it delivers sort of in that area. Definitely not in challenge, definitely not in enjoyment with Pokemon battles, but it delivers in terms of sort of interesting environments. They throw in a couple more Pokemon that they excluded from the base game, so you can play Zoroark and stuff. A lot of people were, you know, disappointed about not having that one because that's a fan favorite. But yeah, it's a sneaky Nintendo tactic where there's not much content and a lot of it should have been included in the base game. And that's the reason why they excluded it, because they knew that people would miss that stuff and would be willing to pay the $40 entrance fee just to get it again.
Funny though that you guys hate Pokemon Sword and Shield, kind of. I think it's one of my favorite Pokemon games.
Dude! No, yeah, dude, I like it. I like it. I don't hate it. I just, when I play it, that's the thing. I love Pokemon and I enjoy playing Pokemon, and it's still a decent Pokemon game. It's just, it's stripped down content, and you know it because you played previous Pokemon games, and you know that it's not that hard to include a bigger, more robust Pokemon cast. And it's just all those little things that piss you off as you play through it. Like, I don't know, yeah.
I think if I had played this and not having played the last ones that they've had over the last few years, like if I'd skipped the last like four games maybe, I would be like, yeah, this is amazing. This probably is it, because it looks the best, you know, has the best animations and stuff like that. But after playing, I bought a 2DS just so I could play through all the Pokemon games on there. And after playing through all of them leading up to this, including Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee, it was just, they just didn't really do anything new. Like, they had this new console, this the most powerful system that they've ever had to put a Pokemon RPG on before, and they did almost nothing with it. Like, it looked like maybe an up-res of a 3DS game, and that was it, slightly prettier. So, I was just super disappointed, and I can totally understand why someone would love that game. A lot of Pokemon fans out there really did love it. I think I'm probably in the minority with my opinion on this one, but I just want to see something different in Pokemon. I think I'm just jaded this time. But look,
did you guys say that like that Pokemon Pass gives you future DLC though?
Yeah, it does. So and that's part of, again, sneaky marketing, is that they know that it's not really worth the $40 price tag, so they're promising more to come, and really...
Well, that's good, though, in a sense. They've kind of come out and been like, well, we're going to give you more, so...
Yeah,
bitches.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where, like, you play through it and you go, okay, so $40 is half of what the base game cost, because the base game cost $70 to $80 when it came out on release. You are not getting half a game's worth of content, not even close. You're getting a side quest basically for the price tag. So that's,
I guess,
the
we'll
thing.
Have to wait and see what they that's release the thing, in the yeah. future really yeah
and also now, Lockie, the oh okay yeah
now Lockie, we're all video gamers here, so all those words that you just said to us mean absolutely nothing. We need a score on this. We need to apply the Parnell ratio. What
fuck
score
you with
do
your
you
Parnell Fuck you with your Parnell ratio. I'm not going to fucking sit on Parnell for the rest of my life. I want to try new things.
Oh, ouch. No, I thought it was a nice little tribute to
nice.
Jerry. But hey, if you want to keep being creative with it, I'm totally down.
Hey, there's other good voice actors out there as well that deserve recognition. I don't know of any, but I don't know. Maybe Judi Dench. I don't think she's ever voice acted in anything, but I feel like she would be a good fit.
I promise you when I put my review score on The Last of Us, I'll use the Judi Dench ratio, Lockie, yeah, just for you. But for now, what score do you want to give this one then?
It's so hard to describe. It is halfway enjoyable, the exploration stuff. And you get to see some old favorite Pokemon that weren't in the original. There's some nice moments in it. And the Clara rival design is good, but it's very bare bones in terms of actual challenge. The leveling system's absolutely fucked and makes no sense, and you get absolutely no joy out of any Pokemon battles you have on the island, and there's very few of them.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd have to give this like it's definitely not passable. It's just under passable. So I'd give it four Forrest Whitakers from The Last Jedi out of 11 Morgan Freemans from any movie.
Oh.
So I get it now. We don't even the score no longer needs to apply to anything to do with the game that we're talking about. At all.
Well, you're the one that was fucking going on about the Parnell ratio, so I don't think you can really talk.
Yeah.
What does Chris Parnell have to do with anything?
I'm totally down for that. That makes absolute sense to me. And look,
you have to save the Empire.
I'm glad we got this out of the fucking road because I finally get to talk about some Last of Us Part 2. Holy shit, this game. Ooh. Fucking hell. I was waiting for this game with such anticipation. Chris would know. We were in the group chat with Roger. Just fucking, frothing. You know, just I was being like an impatient kid before Christmas waiting for this game. I was like, fucking, it's taking too long. Time slowed down entirely before it came out, but finally, we got there. We got there. Friday finally came and we could fucking play this game. And oh, my dear God, like not a lot of the time, I think I hype up games in my head way too much. And then when I play them, they just couldn't possibly live right up to that hype. I think Spider-Man, as much as I adore Spider-Man, I had it hyped up just insanely in my brain. And I don't think it quite hit those fucking peaks, but oh, this one for me has definitely hit those peaks. The hype was real. I am fucking obsessed with this game. Man, I've got cordyceps. This game has infected my brain. Like I'm thinking about this game when I'm not playing it. You know, I'm getting up and like, you know, yesterday morning I got up, got the podcast episode ready as quickly as I possibly could so I could just spend a couple of hours playing before work. I'm fucking obsessed with this. It is got to be the most cinematic game I've ever played in my life. The visuals in this are fucking incredible. All the camera angles, the way the in certain situations during certain animations the camera might pull in or out to give accents to certain things. Oh, it's fantastic. Neil Druckmann, he's the fucking Christopher Nolan of the gaming directors. That man fucking knows how to direct a game, and yeah, this is certainly another one he's directed super well. Look, I think I'm going to continue to gush more, but the reason why I asked you to come on for this episode, Chris, is because I know that you love The Last of Us Part 1 and you're a massive fan of it, and I wanted someone here to gush with. You're my gush brother, the new term I just coined.
I'm gone now from this podcast. I'm leaving. Bye guys, it was fun.
I think that's really gonna take off. Hashtag gush brother.
Gush brother.
Mate, are you man, gushing over this?
I've been waiting for this game for so long. Like, when it first got announced and stuff, I was like, fuck. Just because the story, and I've said this a million times, this is Last of Us 1 was the first game to ever really, like, hit me. Like, just even that first scene and, like, man, I was, like, fucking on the edge of crying, man. I was just, everything just...
Yep. Tears.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just, well, yeah, the emotions in that game is just ridiculous. It plays on you and it's like, fuck, man, what the hell? Is this a computer game? Like, I even showed my wife. I was like, mate, I want you to watch the first 5 minutes of, like, The Last of Us 1. Like, just fucking watch it, mate. And then I actually was just like, oh, yeah, that was sad. Like, she's not into video games at all, like, but that's another story. But you know, I want to show her, like, what video games are now. Like, it's not Tetris and Pac-Man now. Like, check this shit out. And The Last of Us 2, man, is like, man, it's beautiful. The controls are just exactly the same. Like, it was really weird. Like, they're not exactly the same, but they're, like, muscle memory, man. I was just, like, back to, you know, doing what you do, and so far everything's kind of lived up to the hype. And as what I said to you, the emotions in that game is just like, well, man, I need a bit of a break. Like, holy shit, like this is full on. And I'm taking my sweet ass time with this, man. I'm reading up on everything, every note. When I go into a room, I'm looking around for like just anything, just to read up. Like anything, man.
We may as well touch on exploration right here, because. Yeah, every nook and cranny, almost, there'll be something interesting to find. And yeah, I'm totally right there with you. I don't always read everything I pick up in video games.
No.
But I am reading every single fucking piece of thing. I don't care what, you know, it'll just be like the fucking patrol notes or whatever. Yes! How many people come in and out of a building or whatever. Yeah, I don't give a fuck what it is. I am reading
every single thing. They're lunch orders and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. It all just adds to this world and this universe that they've built over there at Naughty Dog. And yeah, Ed, I absolutely lap it up. Not normally something that I really do quite as much, but
it shows you how much detail they've put into this game as well. Like, just in just a room, you're just like, holy shit, man. Like, you know, she plays a PS3, the fat boy. I saw that in the room. That's a spoiler alert. With Jack and Dax, she plays.
Easter egg spoiler, I guess, whatever. But yeah, dude, when I saw that fucking PS3.
Yeah, I was like, God damn, how's that still alive, man? It's dusty as hell. Like, that thing was like.
Yeah, I think it was. They had what, Uncharted there and a copy of Daxter or something.
Yeah, Jack and Daxter on the side, yeah.
My emotions just from that.
Yeah, but just the lighting and the HDR on it and like just.
Dude, are you playing on a pro?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, holy fucking shit. Like, you know, after playing Red Dead 2, I'm like, it's going to be a while before something hits that benchmark again. We've had a new benchmark set there. And here we go. 2020, the new benchmark, for me personally, when it comes to game visuals, has been set. The detail in this game is just fucking insanity. I remember in one part there's like a close-up of a character's lip, and I'm just staring at this lip, and I remember Torja was sitting next to me. I've pointed and go, look at that lip.
Hashtag pink lips.
Like, so it was insane. Like, it was fucking insane how the detail on that, I couldn't believe it. And the detail is exactly the same everywhere, every corner of this game. It is just absolutely packed to the brim with detail.
The foliage
and,
as well.
I guess that's, they definitely get a lot out of the two discs, because it is a two disc thing. You got to do a data disc 100%. First before you put it
in. Even the snow on the trees, when you kind of go past it and the snow comes off the trees and you're just like, what the fuck?
Snow,
like, this
looks
is
absolutely incredible. I want to just touch really briefly on the narrative so as to avoid any spoilers. I'm not going to say anything that it's about. But my God, I think I'm about close to 10 hours in, and the narrative, I am so drawn in by everything that's happening in this game, by the plot points of this game. I'm right now just thinking about what's going to happen next. I really just I'm constantly thinking about just wanting to find out what is going to happen next in this game. The narrative is just it's woven so fucking well. The characterization is the best in any game. The characters have this real realistic sounding dialogue, yet it's still very entertaining as well too. It's not so realistic, it's boring. I'm constantly engaged and listening to what these characters are saying and listening to they comment on so much stuff that's around the environment. I'm always looking to hear everything that they're saying. Fuck.
Just throwbacks to The Last of Us 1 as well. Like, you might hear something from The Last of Us 1 and you're like, cool, man. Yeah. That's sick. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
Wow, this sounds nothing like Pokemon.
It's not a DLC, though.
Yeah, I really wish I could have played this game instead of the fucking Pokemon.
Dude, I'd totally play Neil Druckmann's Pokemon, you know, that'd be fascinating.
Imagine Morgan Freeman narrating
this game. Fuck you, let him make one.
It's a topsy-turvy game, man. Emotions, it plays with you hard. It's good. It's good, man.
Yeah.
No other game has done this to me ever, so...
Wow.
It's a first.
I'm there with you. I feel like I don't know if it's because I'd already played the first one, so I sort of knew what I was in for as far as Infected was concerned, but I haven't been quite, I think, as anxious when I'm fighting those Infected. I don't know. But the feels in this is just incredible. And it's not just like from plot points and things happening. Mm. It's just from even just expressions on characters' faces and reading more into moments than what is on the surface of it as well, too. It all really adds into it. I think one of the things with this for me, and I think why video games are such a fucking powerful medium in general, is it's like watching a movie that the sequel doesn't come out for another 7 years later, and then you're welcomed back with all these characters that you remember and that you love. It the nostalgia plus just the fact that it is just a fucking stellar and beautiful game. I gotta say, I think for some people out there, it may not be entirely for them, and I say that just because this is not necessarily a fun game. I've had fun with the combat, but this game is an emotional journey and is brutal and is it's not something that you go to forget your troubles, you know what I mean? It's definitely something you got to be prepared, you know. You're in for an in-depth story with a lot of really full-on shit going on. And I was a little bit anxious about going into it at first, thinking, you know, maybe is this going to be a little bit too much, you know, like a little bit too depressing, and I'm going to feel like I need to take breaks and, you know, play some palate cleansers like Ratchet and Clank or something like that. But thus far, that has not been the case at all. Every spare moment I've had, I've just been playing the game. And any moment that I haven't been playing it, I've been fucking thinking about it or annoying someone in my vicinity about it. This game.
Fuck, I need to check this game out. God, it sounds so much better than everything that I've played through.
Have you played number one, Lockie?
No, I haven't. So I don't have a... Yeah, I haven't played the PS exclusive. So that's the thing. I missed out on this entire like zeitgeist of good quality gaming.
Do yourself a favor and play number one.
Yeah. Please. Yeah. Okay.
Zach, dude, what are you doing, man? What are you doing, mate?
Dude,
what are you doing?
You know how many episodes I've said to Lockie, I've got a PlayStation here for you that you can have to play all these games? He's like, yeah, but later, but yeah, but whatever.
Yeah.
When the PS5 comes out, I'll lend you my PS4 Pro and you can play The Last of Us 1 Remastered and then The Last of Us Part 2 and you'll thank me afterwards and offer me a lovely blowjob.
hey, look, you know, it may not be pretty and it may not be enjoyable, but somebody's got to fucking play this Poker Pass to tell the world what it is.
I thought you were about to say somebody's going to suck this dick.
It's a fucking thankless job, but somebody's got to do it. And like, I'm a pretty miserable person in general, so it might as well be me.
Why not both, though? Why not both?
Exactly. Like, in terms of a palate cleanser, it sounds like I would have to... I'd fucking throw my Switch in the bin after playing Last of Us.
But with the palate cleanser, it's funny you say that. With you, like, Zach, you've kept on playing, and when Roger and Finn and a few of our other friends, they're just like, oh, does anyone want to play COD? I just need a bit of a break from The Last of Us and stuff like that. And this is when I haven't even touched the game. And I was like, well, you guys are idiots, man. Like, I'd be playing, like, nonstop. And then, like, once I got home, I was playing it and stuff. I was just like, oh, I understand. And then, like, yeah, like, last night, I said to Roger, I was just like, oh, what are you doing? Are you playing The Last of Us and stuff? He goes, oh, I think we have a bit of a break. I was like, yeah, me too. He's like, Destiny? I was like, yes. Let's do that. And we played that for, like, 6 hours. I was like, that's awkward. I was like, I thought my whole Saturday night was going to be The Last of Us, and I ended up playing fucking Destiny 2. I was like, what the fuck is going on? but now, today, like, now I'm just like, oh, dude, I can't wait to play. Like, I'm back on track. I need to, I'm zoned back in, man. I'm zoned back in. But you're right. It's not everyone's cup of tea. It's pretty simple. Like, if you didn't like The Last of Us 1, I don't know how the fuck you don't like The Last of Us 1, but if you didn't like it, you're not obviously not going to like The Last of Us 2, and you're not going to go into The Last of Us 2 without playing number 1. So, yeah, it definitely is a bit of a roller coaster ride. And as what I said to Roger as well, like, I think it's definitely a solo experience in a sense of, like, I'm a bit opposite to you, Zach, in a sense of, like, I don't really want to talk about, well, obviously you don't want to talk about spoilers, but I get scared that, like, I speak to someone and they're going to spoil something. And that was exactly the same as Roger. Like, some of his friends are just like, oh, where are you up to and stuff? And just like, just shut up. Just don't even say anything. Like, I don't want to know anything just in case something happens, because I feel like that would be the worst thing in this game ever. If you, like, if you knew any bit of spoiler, like, just anything, you'd just be fucked. You'd be it would be the worst. But yeah, it's definitely take your time, go through it. As what you said, Zach, you kind of walk through every room like me, you're reading up on everything. Even like the Uncharted or, like, you know, the Gods of Wars or any of those other games, like, I don't really read anything. I just kind of just keep going. I'm like, nah, I'm not reading that shit. Like, I just keep going. But this is probably the first game where I'm actually reading every note. I'm trying to read stuff that you aren't supposed to read that's on a table. I'm like, oh, does that have anything on there? I was like, oh, fuck. But I think because I'm just so obsessed with this world and the story as well, I just want to know what happens. And yeah,
I'm right there with you. And I've got to say, they, as far as animations are concerned, this is the best animation work I've ever seen in a video game. I think a lot of people had a problem with, as good as the animations were in something like Red Dead Redemption 2, some people had a problem with like controlling the character and finding it a bit cumbersome.
Yeah,
I feel like they've got the balance perfect with The Last of Us Part 2. Ellie moves in a very realistic way, and it still feels like it has weight to it, and all the animations look realistic, but very rarely is there ever a moment where I have struggled to get her to do something that I wanted to do. I can't actually think of a time at all.
So, I'm picturing you, like, putting the input controls and she's like, yeah, nah, fuck off, I'm doing this.
there is two things that kind of came out of this. So, could you imagine the end of the PS5 cycle of a game like this caliber coming out at the end of the cycle? So they've used all the power of the console, and this is what it is. You don't get these type of games at the start of a generation, right? So the end of, like, this is, we're using all the features. Now, there's one thing. It's not a spoiler. At the start of this game, where you use the touchpad for something. And I was like, this is the first time we've actually used the touchpad for something, like...
anything, yeah.
Like, actually not, like, just using it as a button. You're actually using the touchpad. And you know what I'm talking about, Zach.
Yeah, no, totally, 100%. The last time I used the touchpad for anything other than just opening up a map was back in Infamous Second Son, where you'd have to, like, to destroy these power cores, you'd have to, like, lift it up by stroking up on the touchpad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Pressing with the other hand or something like that.
So what's happening is Ellie fingering herself or something, and you have to, like, and you have to flick the bean the right way to progress.
You gotta watch the character animations and reactions to get the other character to climax. 100%. Lucky's spot on. Sorry for spoiling everyone out there on the a big plot point for The Last of Us Part 2. totally. That was a neat little surprise. I've got to say, something that was a neat little surprise for me was, I don't know if you have died yet in the game, but I've died a few times. Holy fucking shit.
How quick are those load times, man? It is literally like 5 seconds to get back into it after you die.
So two things I mentioned with this when you die. Right? Roger's like, I haven't died because he's playing on a light. I was going to go that route, but I'm like, nah, I have to stick to normal. And then...
Dude, I'm so glad I went with normal, hey.
Yeah, I'm just playing with normal. But I can change it whenever I want, though. Do you know what I mean? So but normal's fine. Like, you know, it's just enough for me to, you know, kind of sneak around and do my thing and whatever. But the thing that I was kind of, like, impressed about and happy about was it was about, I don't know, 2:45. I looked at the time and I was like, I need to go to bed. And I was up to a bit where there's clickers and stuff. Anyway, there's a fair few of them. And I went to kill all of them. And there was one left. And then me being impatient, I just ran up. I was just like, oh, I just want to get over and done with this. Kill this fucking clicker and shit. And then the clicker killed me. And I was like, fuck. I'm going to have to go back to the start, like when I entered that room. But it was just, like the checkpoint was just with that last clicker. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. Like, yes. Because then I would have probably just turned the PlayStation off, really. So I would have been like, if I'm starting back from the start, like, nah, no chance.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so good. I was just one quick left. I was like, yay, don't need to do the whole shit again.
Yeah, yes, that's convenient.
Man, it is fantastic game design. I wish every game played like this. Like, when you pause, it will tell you the last time you had a checkpoint.
Yeah.
It's very, very rare that it ever says more than less than a minute ago.
Yeah.
And every time I've died thus far, it's literally I'm perfect. Right where I was before. Yeah. And it means that you can, if you want to have a bit of fun with it, you can have a bit of fun and try a bunch of different things. You know,
Strats
you're not
going to
be
stuff.
Sitting in a fucking loading screen. But I got to say, with those kind of loading times, man, I was like, fuck, who needs the SSD? Holy shit.
Yeah,
Naughty Dog of... I don't know how they pulled that off. That is just...
Yeah.
Yeah, that is just incredible.
So good.
It really is incredible. Considering especially how good this game looks as well, like the graphical fidelity of this game, that they can load all this shit in that quickly, it is... It's an absolute fucking achievement. I've got to say the AI I find has been greatly improved. On the infected, I find the clickers to be a lot more unpredictable now.
They don't do the animation where if you think they're close, they don't do that animation. They can do that animation whenever now. So you're just like, oh, I don't know when they see me or not until they start running at you.
Oh, man, the amount of times that I'll be, like, approaching one and then all of a sudden they'll fucking do a loud screech and be like, oh, no, I'm going to go back over here.
And then I'll go back. Just throw a bottle at the head and you're like, ah!
Yeah, they designed that so fucking well. But then the AI of... I better not get into... Everyone knows it's a Last of Us game that there will eventually be human characters that you come up against in The Last of Us. That's part of the Last of Us universe. And the AI is greatly improved there as well, too. I won't get into it because, you know, I love finding out all the different little details and stuff. But yeah, I think if you're a fan of The Last of Us Part 1, so far, like, the narrative hasn't wrapped up and stuff yet, so we don't know how, you know, the narrative's really going to turn out in the long run. But so far, every aspect of the game, they have improved upon from the first, and I'm absolutely loving it. I'd be very shocked if by the end of this year, this doesn't end up being my game of the year.
Yeah.
This game is an achievement and is fucking absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. If you have a PS4 and you do not own this game, throw your PS4 away because you're fucking wasting it. You're an idiot. Go buy The Last of Us Part 2.
I honestly think if you've done number one, you're 100% going to buy number two if you like number one. Like, why the fuck wouldn't you buy number two? Like, it just blows my mind if you're like, yeah, I played The Last of Us 1. Oh, are you going to get Last of Us 2? Nah. I'd just be like, what? I'm so confused.
Yeah. And look, The Last of Us Part 1, I guess, wasn't for everybody. It was super beloved. But for me personally, yeah, if you enjoyed this one, then, God, you'd be absolutely crazy, not to get The Last of Us Part 2.
Can I ask, as an entry gamer, so there'll be people that haven't played Last of Us Part 1, can I jump into this game and still enjoy it, or should I play number one?
I would definitely not recommend playing number two.
Yeah, okay.
I'd go number one first. Like, you'd miss out on a lot of emotions, I think.
Oh, okay.
Look, they do like a little bit of a catch up at the start, so you can get to know how the story got to where it is.
But as far as like gaming narratives go, that like you're going to get way more out of it if you have played the first one.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like you're missing out on a lot of what they're kind of trying to get at. And yeah, and number one was awesome. I played that 3 times, I think, like PS3, and then twice on PS4. So. It's good.
Oh, and after this, I'm going to have to go to work and I'm not going to be able to play the game. Oh, I just want to be playing the game.
I know.
Oh, it's so
funny. Yeah. I need to get back to that PokerPass content and and have some more overpowered battles where there's absolutely no engagement. This is wonderful. Can't wait.
Christophini, do you have anything left you'd like to say on The Last of Us Part 2?
No, I don't, man. No, I don't. I just want to keep playing. Yeah, obviously, I'm only like 4 hours in or something like that. So, no more from me. It's fantastic. Yeah. And I'm freaking out half the time. And I'm enjoying that.
Yeah, 100%. I'm right there with you. Love this game. Can't wait to be playing more. And I'll have a review score either next week or maybe the week after. We'll see how long, because I'm taking my sweet ass time with this one, I mentioned before.
And so you're going to take your time with how many Parnells you're going to distribute with this one?
How many Judy Dench's, Lockie? We talked about that just 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Come on, brother. Anyway, that'll do us for news to reviews for another week. As I alluded to before, unfortunately, I have to get to work, so I've got to start wrapping things up here. Christos, thank you so much for joining us. This was fucking amazing.
Mate, thanks for having me.
Brothers definitely delivered.
Thank you for me knocking on the door and intruding, and I've had a fucking ripper time.
You're welcome back anytime.
Beautiful.
Oh, yes, mate, you intrude all you like. We love having you here. Bloody Butt Mash is my podcasting home away from home, and I hope news to reviews can be the same.
Mate, this is my first guest appearance on any podcast, of course.
Oh, holy shit, we took your guest Ginity.
You're
going to remember this forever.
Yeah, I'm going to use that touchpad and flick that bean.
Fucking oath. Well, fucking Christophini, tell the peoples out there where they can find everything you and Roger do over at Buttmash.
Yeah, you can find us. Just go to our website at www.buttmashpod.com. We have all our episodes up there. You can find Roger doing some Twitch stuff as well at twitch.tv/buttmashpod. You can find us on all kind of podcast platforms. That's the one. And
Fucking A. And yeah, I vouch for
Roger's
streaming. Roger's streaming is fucking fantastic and super entertaining.
Yeah, really funny.
Definitely check it the fuck out. I want to see you start doing some streaming on the Button Mash.
I am, man. It's coming. It's coming. I've got a setup now, I've just got to put some, just got to work it out, and I'll be on there.
Excellent. Fuck yes. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to that. But just quickly, I'll mention everywhere you can find news to reviews. You can check us out on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our Twitter handle is @news2reviews, and that's with a number 2 instead of the word 2. And if you want to tell us anything you thought about The Last of Us Part 2 or the fantastic Pokemon expansion pass, you can send your feedback to news2reviewspodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, thank you all our listeners for joining us for another week. Thank you, Lockie, for joining me for another week. And
thank you
again, Chris, for joining us for this first guest episode. Oh, fuck, you killed it, man. That was fucking awesome.
No, thank you guys again. It was awesome.
Alrighty, and everyone out there, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another.
Bye.